Random thoughts. In this video, I'm going to talk about the question whether the Agikuyu religion was based on Judeo-Christian foundation. And this is an argument I've seen a few people make. And to be honest, I didn't give it much thought for a while. And that's until I read John Boyer's book, John Boyer's The King of the Wakikuyu. Now, John Boyes, I've described or I've told you about him in other videos, that this is a British guy who came to Kenya in the late 19th century. And then he went and he lived among the Agikuyu for maybe 2 to 3 years, up to early 1900s. And he claimed to be the first European to settle among the Agikuyu. And he claims to have helped the Agikuyu achieve some harmony. And then at some point, he called himself the King of the Wakikuyu because he said that the leaders of the Agikuyu at the time came to recognize him as their leader. Now, I've said in other videos that whatever John Boyer says, we have to take it with a huge pinch of salt. And this is because John Boyer is one individual who many describe as a con. And I've seen him being described as a con in other documents, and in particular, Richard Maynard Sagan's diary, he describes him as someone who was, basically a con. Now, but having said that, there are things he describes in the book. And number one, it is not disputed that John Boyes did live among the Agikuyu. That's a fact that is not disputed. And it is not disputed that at some point he did have a huge influence among the Agikuyu, or he did become a recognized figure among the Agikuyu. That's not disputed. In fact, the Agikuyu used to call him Karia Njahi, and that's because he came to love so much a particular type of, I guess, being called Njahi. So it is not disputed that he lived among the Agikuyu. It is not disputed that he did become a well-recognized figure in that society. But still, we have to take some of the things he writes in his book with a pinch of salt, as I've said. But having said that, there are things that he describes in his book that we can come to the conclusion that he did not have any motivation to create stuff. That he, for some of these things, he just had to describe them the way they were. And among the many things that he describes in the book is the religion of the Agikuyu people. Now, before I go into that, in another video I published, I talked about the similarity of religious practices among the Agikuyu and the Abyssinians, the Ethiopians. And this is something John Boyes does bring up in the book, actually. And he talks about this practice of the Agikuyu having these particular places. Usually they were near the rivers, along the pathways or where people passed. And wherever you pass there, you'll carry a rock and then you throw it into a pile. And some of these piles, he says, were very huge. And then he says he went to Ethiopia and he found a similar practice among the Abyssinians or some of the Abyssinians. And in Ethiopia, he said those piles of rocks used to be found next to churches. And I think I've come across a similar tale about piles of rocks in another document. Could be a document I read about the wars that went on in Ethiopia sometime maybe in the 16th century. But somebody left me a comment on TikTok, and this person goes by the name AIL, and he tells me, or he say that he's an Ethiopian himself, and he say that yes, he recognizes the practice of throwing stones into a pile, but he told me that he has never heard that part of it being done near churches, or at least that's what I thought he said. Could be maybe I mistook his words, but that's what he said. But then he said that actually that practice existed while he grew up in some of the rural parts of northern Ethiopia, where I said that in the rural land, there were places where people would pass by and throw rocks on piles, huge piles. But he says for him, he doesn't recall it, or he hasn't known, or he has no information of it being done close to churches. Now, so if that is the case, and again, I'm requesting if you are Ethiopian and you know about this practice, you can tell me whether this guy, AIL, whatever he describes is actually what it is, or whether there is the church part and there is the no church thing, you can let me know about that. Now, with that out of the way, now let's describe, or let's talk about the religious beliefs of the Agikuyu people. Now, When I was reading the document by John Boyes, I think I reached a point where I thought either he misunderstood whatever he was told by the Akikuyu, or in the 100 years or 120 years, how we've come to understand the traditional Akikuyu beliefs has changed so much. Maybe has been, we can say, has been influenced a lot by the cultural change that has happened during that time. So it could be either. And this is what I mean. Before I talk about what John Boyes talks about or describes in the book, let me say what we today generally understand to have been the Akikuyu traditional beliefs. So now, it's generally believed that the Akikuyu were a monotheist society, and that means that they worshipped one god. This is unlike many other societies in Africa that worshipped many gods. They worshipped Ngai, and they believe that Ngai could be reached through Mount Kenya, of course. But today it's also believed that they did have, or they did consider the component of ancestors to be critical in that religious belief system, such that there was a belief that the people alive today could communicate with the people who lived before, and those people somehow could influence activities in today's lives. That's how it is described today. But now, when you go to John Boyer's book, there is a little bit of difference from that to what we generally get today. I even tried to do some research, and that's the kind of like the common understanding. There is Ngai, then there are the ancestors and that structure like that. But when you read John Boyer's book, he describes the religious beliefs of the Akikuyu to be such similar to Christian beliefs. That's how he describes it in his book. And this is what he says. I'm not going to read word by word, but I'm going to describe what I read in the book. He says that among the Akikuyu believed in one god, Ngai. And he also says they also believed in another spirit called Ngoma. Now, Ngoma, in today's understanding, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is spirits. But how he describes it in the book is just one spirit, and he equates it to Satan. And he says, when you take religious belief systems of the Agikuyu, they look so similar to the religious beliefs of, we can say, Christians, where there is God and there is Satan. And we can say, of course, Islam, there is God and there is Satan. He says that is the same. But of course, now he goes into other details like this practice of sacrificing goats and sheep, of course, or animals to God. And he says that in many homesteads, this used to happen very regularly, actually. For example, he says that in the household of Karuri, Chief Karuri, the person who he befriended, and they became very friendly, and at some point the friendship became sour when John Boyes stole ivory stash from Karuri. He says that Karuri used to sacrifice a goat or a sheep, most likely a sheep, almost every week. This was a very wealthy man, so it's possible that he could afford to do that every week. And he describes the process of going into a grove or a forest near his homestead and then inviting some other, maybe his age mates, and killing the goat or the sheep in a particular manner, which he describes to some extent. And then, of course, there is Moratina and things like that. Yeah, so he calls that part of that religious belief. But he categorically makes it clear that the foundation of that religion is so similar to Christianity. And he takes this from the fact that there is God in Ngai and there is Ngoma with Satan. Now, it's possible John Boyes misunderstood what he was told. Maybe he was told about Ngoma, and because he came from West, a Christian world, for him Ngoma became Satan instead of it being many spirits of different kinds. So we'll never know for sure whether he misunderstood it, or, as I've said, in the more than a century of time that has gone by, and then there has been this so much influence from Western society on Kenyan society and the Kikuyu society in particular. Maybe it is the current modern understanding of the Kikuyu religious beliefs that has changed. We never know for sure. Those are my random thoughts.